Hey guys, it's Briley.
And Sophia.
And today for our podcast, we're going to be talking about the crime story of The Green Mile. You can either watch it as a movie or read it as a book. But basically what you need to know is that it is about this guy named John Coffey. He is just like huge, 6'7", 280 pounds, like big guy. And he was wrongly convicted of the murder and rape of two little girls. And as you read it or watch it, you find out like the horrible things that go on in a penitentiary. And with the inmates of death row, you also learn about their experiences and their stories and why they're on death row. And it's a huge plot twist at the end. It's so good. It's really fun to watch. Me and Sophia have both watched it. Sorry, I'm used to calling her Sophie. But me and Sophia have both watched it. And we really want y'all to watch it as well, obviously. You can go to both all of our social medias for our podcast. And we have more like preview talk on there. But today, it's more about after you watch it and read it. So we actually have a very special guest that I'm going to let Sophie take over real quick and talk about.
All right. Thank you, Briley. She explained that very well. So today we have a very interesting story. As you can tell, you can just read the summary and already know that this is crazy. There's a lot of stuff going on in this case. So today, we're very lucky to be able to invite Paul Edgecombe to come to our podcast and talk about what he saw and how he felt about the conviction and what he saw in John Coffey. So he gives a very interesting and unique perspective on this, having that he was the one who knew the most about him in his case.
So after the commercial break, we're going to meet with Paul, and we're just going to be asking him a bunch of questions. So y'all should definitely stay tuned and be ready for that.
All right. Hey, guys, we're back. So first, I would just like to start with saying, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast today. It's greatly appreciated, and I'm really happy to have somebody here who is so informed on the case. Literally the person who saw everything. You saw everything. So we're very honored to have you here. And I would also like to continue by saying how your day is and how you're doing today.
Hey, girls. Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to share all the information that I have on this case. It was very emotionally stressing for me and all the rest of the guards. So I'm excited for y'all's questions and just to get right to it, because I know that these listeners are very eager. But yeah, thank you for having me. My day's going good. I'm excited to be here. So let's go ahead and start.
Yes, Paul, we're super excited for you to be here as well. So the first question that we have was, what was your first impression of John Coffey when he came into the jail? Because by your description and from the movie and books, since I read and watched both, me and Sophie both did, we just want to know like what your first impression was, because obviously like death row inmates are very different from like jail and prison inmates. Like they like are obviously more scary and more intense, and they've done
intimidating.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And so we just want to know like what was your first impression? What was your first thought?
Yeah, we're super curious. We just want to know what you think.
So, yeah, it was very intimidating when he first came in. I mean, the guy's huge. That's the best way I can put it, girls. He walks in with tears in his eyes, and somehow that was the first thing I saw. I didn't notice his 6'7" height or his 280 pounds of pure muscle first, but it was his eyes that caught my attention. I knew from the moment on that this wasn't going to be like your average in-and-out death row inmate. Now, obviously, John Coffey is intimidating at first look. No man can look at another man like John and be like, oh, yeah, I can take him, or, wow, he looks like a nice guy. No, that's not at all how he looks at first. As soon as John Coffey walks into the room, you just assume that he's up to no good and guilty, which, I mean, obviously, after knowing him, it's, I feel like that was the biggest lesson that I learned, was just to not judge anyone, because John was honestly one of the best people I've ever met. You know, he never wanted to hurt anyone, and which to me, ladies, is the main reason our town saw him as guilty, was because of his size. Now, I'm not going to give any spoilers, per se, but as you get to the end, you find out that you should never judge someone, like I said, off their physical appearance. After the town saw John, the case was basically over, and he was known as the convicted murderer of these two sweet, innocent little girls. They didn't think to look into anymore because, I mean, he was right there at the crime scene with the two little girls in his arms. So whenever the dad and the rest of the men found, like, on the hunt for the little girls after they went missing and they saw John, they just instantly assumed, which, I mean, all of us would have too if the evidence was right there, that he was guilty.
Okay, thank you so much, Paul. I know that this is really hard recounting on everything and going back to this time period. I know that this case was definitely not easy, and the whole situation was just horrific, and especially considering the fact that he was falsely accused and falsely convicted. The whole situation, I couldn't even imagine being in your shoes, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, we do want to know a lot more because that's what we're here for. Our podcast is about crime shows, and we like going deep into it because we want our readers and our followers to see the truth, and they trust us to be people who can give them actual facts, which is why we brought you here instead of hearing this from like another person, like through the wire, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, after this break, we would like to hear a little bit more.
Hey guys, we're back, and we have a couple more questions for you, Paul.
All right, Paul, so I guess the next question I want to ask is if you thought that John Coffey was innocent, which seems like, you know, a very broad question to ask, but when he was first coming in, considering the case and the situation, everybody thought that he was guilty immediately. So I guess I just want to know what you thought, what your initial, we already asked you what your initial thoughts were, but what you thought about when it came to his innocence, and if you did think he was innocent or not, what gave you that impression?
So for sure, it definitely was very nerve-wracking, and considering the case, I think we were all ready to kind of throw him into this pit of being guilty, and you know, behind a past a reasonable doubt he was found guilty, just because he was holding the girls. I mean, the evidence, the trail of their evidence and everything, it was just horrible. And then finding him with the girls in his arms, it was quite troubling, and when he got there, it was, like I said, nerve-wracking. But once I got to know him and I started talking to him, he seemed very sweet, way too sweet to have ever done something like that. But his physical features made it confusing and hard to believe that he was innocent. As soon as you talk to John Coffey, you get this feeling as if you're in the presence of good. I just had a gut feeling, I guess. It's a hard job I have. It takes patience, toughness, and courage to do what I do as a prison guard. So for those men, if you're not careful, they will manipulate you and they won't think twice. John never did anything of the sort. I wanted to be around John all the time. He just had this interest in him. He would draw people. He had this energy towards him that would just bring people. He's like a magnet. He was very, very illiterate and couldn't form sentences too well, but he was just a pure soul. And when you're around horrible people, men who have done awful things all day, it's nice for me and the other guards to have conversations and just watch John. So yes, I knew in my heart that John Coffey was innocent, to answer your question. But you'll have to realize that there was absolutely nothing that I could do. The evidence was all there. He was at the crime scene holding the girls. He practically had guilty written on his forehead. And now, obviously, after he passed, we found out the truth, but it was too late.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I mean, that's really crazy. I know I keep saying that, but me and Briley were both super interested in this case as soon as we like started doing our research on it and stuff like that, and we read the book and we watched the movie. We definitely wanted to put it on our podcast. Yeah. And we were really excited to have you here, like we said, because it's just, we're very lucky to have these connections to the case. But yeah, I mean, considering the fact that everybody found him guilty and thought he was guilty, it's just crazy to see how things turned out. And looking back on everything, I guess, Briley, you could ask that question if you would like.
Yeah, so, Paul, looking back at everything, what's one thing that you wish you could change about your interaction with John Coffey and the whole situation with him?
Yeah.
So the main thing, girls, that's really always on my mind is that I just wish that I could have saved him. I have a guilty conscience because even though the evidence was there, you just knew in your heart that John Coffey was innocent. I think about every day we were in the same room as the actual killer, William Wharton, and had no clue. I mean, the guy was already on death row. I just don't get why he wouldn't own up to the other killings if he was already going to die regardless. But I guess that's just the difference with how people were raised, and the guy was just evil as is, and he deserves the chair. I also wish the best to those little girls' parents and their family, because I just couldn't imagine going through that twice. They went through it with John Coffey first, thinking that he was a killer, and then going through it again with William Wharton. I honestly couldn't imagine that. Especially for two separate men, and after both of the killings, you find out that one of them was innocent. I just couldn't imagine that guilt, you know? You not only lose two of your babies, but you also kind of also have a guilty conscience of killing an innocent man and being there for it. So, yeah, definitely, I wish I could have saved him. And I know that the rest of the guards and the parents of those little girls would also agree.
Yeah, I mean, totally, I could never imagine that, considering the fact, like you said, not only did their two little girls die, but an innocent man also died sort of at the hands of them, but it wasn't their fault, obviously. It was, you know, a very, very, very horrible mistake.
Yeah. Very rare case.
Very rare case, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I guess as for that man, he probably didn't want to admit to it because he was already probably so scared of what he'd done before. I mean, he was on death row, so he was probably just like, and found it easier to blame another guy. Maybe that made him feel more comfortable.
Yeah, actually,
knowing that he was making somebody else suffer instead of him suffering more. But, yeah, I mean, that's crazy. So I guess our next question, our final question, is going to be, it's under our impression that John Coffey had some sort of special power. We heard a lot about that whenever we were talking to the people in charge of the prison and a lot of the other inmates that we had gotten to interview. We were told he had special powers, so we would like to hear more about that from you.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It was very upsetting, very unsettling. The whole thing was, like I've said before multiple times, but I guess you could say he was the healer and he healed people physically and mentally, which sounds crazy, but I mean, I've never been the one for theatrics or to make things up, so it's just coming from me. I really want people to understand that this is not something I would ever lie about. This is something I couldn't even bring myself to believe at the beginning. He was a very one-of-a-kind person, and it was such a blessing in disguise to meet him. He has impacted my life and other lives greatly, not only for his gifts, but because of how humble and truly caring he is. And it just shined through, because amongst all these horrible, evil people who are in here for doing horrible, evil things, there was John Coffey, the one person who was completely separated from the pack, even though he technically was a part of them. And to the eye of the public, he was a part of them until he died, unfortunately. So he just, I feel he was put here for a reason and to teach people something. Maybe we don't know that. Maybe he's made changes or changed things through his own ways, if that makes any sense. But I think that he was here for a reason, and I'm very, very glad that I got to meet him.
Thank you, Paul, for sharing that. As we mentioned earlier, me and Sophie did visit the penitentiary and ask other inmates and guards about John, and all of y'all's stories lined up. It's just really crazy to believe, because it's really rare that someone can have these special powers like John did, but all of y'all's stories lined up, so...
To us, it seemed more of like a miracle, kind of like he was an angel or something.
Yeah, absolutely, but he was just, you know, like your regular average guy. So after this commercial break, we're going to say goodbye to our very special guest, and yeah.
Hi, have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever wanted to adopt an inmate? Well, lucky for you, you can. Go to www.adoptaninmate.com. Here you're going to see a wide variety of inmates that you can adopt or choose to adopt. So what you're going to do is you can take them commissary, pay for their fees, even bail them out, get them a lawyer, get them out of that pen. So if you want to find more about that, go to our website.
And we're back. So it's a very sad time. We do have to say goodbye to our special guest. He has other interviews today. But Paul, we just really want to say thank you and for letting us ask you really personal questions.
And for letting us get closer to this case. I know that these details were really intimate, especially considering the one that you were closest to the case. But we really, really do appreciate you coming out here and traveling to a completely different city. We really appreciate that. And we were very, very lucky to have you here.
Yeah, I'm sure these listeners are also appreciative. So goodbye. Thank you so much. And for our listeners still listening, thank you. And if y'all have more suggestions on our social media, we will have polls and you can choose and pick.
Also, just a quick side note, Paul Edgecombe actually is going to have his Venmo or Cash App at the bottom of our page where you guys can go and donate money to him. He's retired, and if you would just like to help him out, we would greatly, greatly appreciate that because he deserves it.
Yeah, so go ahead and do that. Subscribe, like, and also comment. Tell us, you know, good and bad. If you liked this, if you didn't, help us, you know, figure out. We want to help y'all. We want to know what y'all want to hear.
So don't forget to do our polls and vote on what you would like to hear from us next. Send us cases, everything that's relevant, anything that you guys want. You know that we're going to do it. So
absolutely.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.